This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan, Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. For those of you listening to the show regularly, you know an organization in the car is near and dear to my heart is Pathfinder for Autism. My son Robbie on the spectrum, and we got involved with this organization probably, I want to say 15 years ago. More than that, maybe. And they've just been a godsend to us. They do lots of things in the community to educate people mm-hmm. about people on the spectrum. They do things with law enforcement, first responders, I should say, on how to communicate with people on the spectrum. They do great things. And every now and then, once a year, they do something they let me spearhead that combines two of the things I love, bourbon and cigars.
Yeah.
And next Thursday, the 17th, going to have an event. It's a Smoketoberfest is what we're calling it. It's going to be at the Humidor Cigar Shop on the Hill. That's located at 2 Sherwood Road in Cockeysville. And joining us right now from Pathfinders for Autism is Vince Fiduccio. What's going on, Vince?
Hey, Rob. How are you? Jeremy, Ed, how you all doing this morning?
Good. All right.
Doing well, man. Of course, VIP tickets, I think they're selling out. They're $125, general admission $75. This is a great, great event. Vince, tell us all about it.
Sure. So Smoketoberfest will be happening next Thursday, the 17th, at the Humidor Cigar Shop, the Humidor on the Hill over there in Cockeysville. And as Rob mentioned, the VIP tickets are $125. For that, you're going to get not only going to get exclusive VIP event from 6 to 7, you'll also enjoy a couple of fine cigars, and you'll also have Capital Grille is going to be serving the food for that, and also, as Rob mentioned, the drinks and everything, all included. And then the general admission tickets are $75. You also get a couple La Vedicion, Connecticut Grand Toro BP, and JFR Maduro Super Toro, and all the other tastings, the heavy hors d'oeuvres. Mission Barbecue is going to do that. So, hey, Rob, where can you go today and get $75? That's two drinks at most places these yeah, days,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, the bourbon that we're serving, yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah. So, and obviously it all benefits Pathfinders for Autism, as Rob mentioned. I'm proud to be on staff here. You know, next year will be our 25th anniversary for Pathfinders.
Wow. One of the things I like the best about what these guys do is the training for first responders. Could you just describe that a little bit? Because I know when I was in the NYPD, I did something similar. It wasn't for autism, but it was for people with hearing disabilities and stuff who couldn't obey verbal commands. And we used to do all kinds of scenarios. What do you guys do with this?
So, Ed, thanks for bringing that up. One of the most important things is you all know that, you know, that interaction, you and Rob, obviously, as police officers know. Jeremy, maybe from the other side, knows the interaction. that interaction, and you know, one of the things that we do is we do a mock traffic stop where we teach people with autism, some drive, some don't, but just how to, you know, be approached by the officer, keeping your hands on the steering wheel, telling the officer that you have autism. This can save lives because, you know, a few years ago there was a tragedy up in Frederick for a young man who had an intellectual disability. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that's so important. Plus, we also train law enforcement personnel, first responders, on how to know how to work with somebody with autism. And that, to me, it saves lives. And it's been so helpful for all of our, you know, we train most of the law enforcement in the state of Maryland and the first responders as well. And it just gives, you know, it's something that gives both. I mean, you know, when an officer walks up to a car, as you both know, and somebody can tell you right away, I have autism, that triggers something in the officer that can save a life.
Yeah. Just to give people listening an example of how I did this, just so it's effective and why I love this program that you have, is I would have young officers, in mock scenarios, and they'd be approached by someone with his hand behind his back, and they're saying, let me see your hands. And they would fire. And then the guy would take out a card from his back pocket saying, I'm deaf mute, could you please donate $10, whatever. And you see the look on their faces, like, oh my God. Like, you know. So it seems like that is very eye-opening.
Yeah, and we also trained, we're training a lot of medical students as well, dental students at the University of Maryland on how to, you know, interact with people with autism. And that's really what this organization does. You know, we're built on three pillars: safety, community, and resource. Obviously this summer we had that tragedy over by Dundalk where the young boy, you know, wandered away, which is a very big problem for children with autism. Unfortunately, it had a bad ending that he ended up drowning. But I know from talking to my colleagues at the office that the police officers they deal with felt so much better because they'd gone through the training of, you know, knowing how to like disperse and what to look for. So it really does save lives. And then, you know, we also do free community events for judgment-free events. We got one coming up at the aquarium for families and children with autism. And then resources. Just, you know, one of the big questions and one of the reasons Pathfinder started was, you know, the same question that our founders had was when their children were diagnosed. Where do I take them to a dentist? Where do I get a haircut? Where do I, you know, what pediatrician do I take? You know, what is the next step for my child? What are his rights? What are her rights? You know, so I think those are our three pillars that we're built in. And we're obviously the largest autism provider in Maryland. And we are a locally based nonprofit. All the money stays here. We're run by Marylanders. And our staff is Marylanders. And this is a great event. Come out and enjoy it. It'll be a fun way, you know, to just hang out and, you know, have some great drinks and good food. Smoke a couple cigars. And we still have, and as Rob mentioned, the VIP tickets are going fast. We only have a handful left. And you can get them by going to pathfindersforautism.org.
Hey, Vince, if I come out, do I have to see Rob Long, or is there like tables away from him that I don't have to deal with him at all?
You know what, Jeremy? If you come out and pay, and I'll make sure that we keep you away from Rob. And I'm sure Rob might even appreciate that, right, Rob?
You know, when he loses this bet, when the Dodgers get eliminated, he owes me $500. So what he's going to do is take that $500 and buy six tickets, and we're giving away on air. So there'll be free tickets thanks to Jeremy Kahn.
Don't even start this, because you're trying to flip that back to me.
There'll
but
be
I
free
will.
Tickets. If you want free tickets to Pathfinder for our time event, hit at Jeremy Kahn Sports.
Hey, Vince, in all seriousness, you know, like I've known Rob for so many years and had a chance to watch Robbie grow
20.
Up. And I feel like it's let me, you know, you get to see a different side of life, and they call it a spectrum because there's so many different things mm-hmm. that somebody could have an affliction with or have issues with. That's why I think something like this, and the more and more we talk about it, people say it all the time that if you can't afford this, if you can't afford to go, share it. Maybe somebody you know can, and right. it helps out that way.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, all the things we offer, like to the family free events or the resources, those are all free. So, you know, they're there for parents, and, you know, we're a holistic organization. It's the entire family, not just the individual that, you know, parents have, you know, how do I potty train a child on the spectrum, or, you know, what are rights, you know, the SSI rights and all that. So we do a lot for the community, the law enforcement, one of my favorites, just because I got to experience it. And it really can save a life. And we all saw, unfortunately, what happened a few years ago in Frederick, and we don't want that to happen again.
Again, this event takes place next Thursday, the 17th. We begin at 6 o'clock for the VIP, $125 for those. General admission at 7 o'clock, $75 for those. Come on out, Capitol Grill, part of the VIP experience, which is always a good thing. It's right there at the Humidor Cigar Shop on the Hill. 2 Sherwood Road in Cockeysville. Come out and join me. Have a good time. A bourbon, a couple of cigars. And we just kick it for a night in honor of Pathfinders for Autism. Vince, thank you so very much for your time.
Thank you, Rob, for all you do for us as well.
Absolutely, man. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
And you can find that QR code will be on my Facebook page as well as Rob Long, and on my Twitter page at Rob Long Sports. And again, once the Dodgers are eliminated, for free tickets, you can contact Jeremy Conn at Jeremy Conn Sports.
At J-Con Sports.
J-Con Sports, I'm sorry.
Get it right. You ain't getting anything for free if you ain't get it right. Screw you, Rob.
I had this in mind the whole time. I was like, man, I hope they lose. I start mapping it out. Like, you know, they could lose before this event.
You know what makes me mad? You know I hate losing bets.
But this is one of the ones you always want to lose.
I mean, because I hate the, like, I don't like the Dodgers. I don't even remember how this whole thing came up. Maybe I was just saying how loaded they were.
And, yeah, you were. And I'm like, they're going to lose.
I don't remember either.
Yeah. Like, Tyler Glasnow, no, not pitching for him.
I remember he said, with all these, he started naming all these guys.
Right.
And said, they're by far the best team in the National League. I remember. That's it. On paper, they are, but I bet you they won't make it to the World Series.
Ed, he doesn't remember.
And that's how it started. I think I'll make the World
Series. Yeah. He made that up. I don't even remember making a bet. No Padres. Damn Dodgers.
Ryan Ripken joins us at 8:30. But on the other side, are we seeing just Manny be Manny or, an example, one of the better leaders in all of baseball? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Man, you don't know that's my theme song. That's my theme song. Commissioner's Baltimore at 8:45. But right now, the noise around Manny Machado and the Dodgers. Jeremy, is that Manny being Manny, or have we seen the dawning of one of the better leaders in baseball?
Jack Flaherty and Dave Roberts are bitches, man. That's like the only way to say this. That's it. Like, here's my problem with it. Manny Machado has...
Who is it?
Jack Flaherty and Dave Roberts are bitches. That's what they are. And here's my issue.
Like, ooh, bitch.
First of all, let's do the Dave Roberts thing first because it's the easiest one. He's complaining. Look, it's a former player of yours. He played with those guys. He's complaining that he threw a ball into his dugout yeah. And he had there was a reason behind it. When you watch the replay, he tosses a ball off the field like he does every damn time. And because he plays on third base and your dugout's on the third base side, where do you think the ball goes? Yeah. He didn't. If he wanted to throw it in there,
Jack
at you, he
threw it 100 with that
miles
arm.
An hour.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Yeah. So that's the first one. Jack Flaherty, we saw this act here. It's like, man, he's pitching really well outside of this, and this looks great. Jack Flaherty starts mouthing off to Manny until Manny says, I will meet you outside. And then he pauses and he goes, what's your problem, man?
Yeah.
Like, there's so much of this bravado that goes on from guys that want to talk smack and say things and be things. Yeah.
Yeah.
And remember the trade deadline when people around here kept mentioning Jack Flaherty? What was my response to that?
They don't want him back.
Mine was the same. We had him already. Why would you want him back?
You know why they don't want him back?
They didn't like him.
Because what did you describe Jack Flaherty as?
A bitch.
That's why they didn't want him back.
And
I kept, folks, he's not coming back here. He's not coming back here. And nobody believed me.
Yeah,
you see the bitch that he is.
Because what he could have done, I don't know if you saw it earlier, Manny turned a double play. The ball, the speed was 85 miles an hour a second. That's without a windup.
Yeah.
That's just like this.
So if he
like,
wanted to hit you, you think he's going to toss him?
Right, exactly.
We've seen Manny Machado toss a bat at Josh Donaldson.
Yes.
You think he's afraid to toss a ball to the dugout?
Yeah.
And if I'm Jack Flaherty, I don't want that smoke.
Yeah, rest in peace, Jordan Ventura, but he ragdolled his ass yeah. at the mound. But like the problem is that Manny has built up this being the bad guy thing. Some things I think are very fair. Some of them I think that people are stretching a little bit because it's Manny. You go, I don't know if he did that on purpose or not. Like the bat thing, I think he definitely threw that on purpose. Because Josh Donaldson
was obvious,
tagged him really hard at third base, and he's like, screw it. He'll show him.
I think the Dustin Pedroia thing he did on purpose.
See, I don't. I think his foot kicked up.
Okay.
So that's...
I hope you're right.
But again, we don't know.
I hope you're right. I don't want to believe it, but I do.
Who was the first baseman he stepped on their ankle?
It was the Brewers.
Padres, right? Was it the Brewers? Oh, yeah. Rowdy Tellez, was it?
Yes, I think it was.
That was intentional.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think swinging too long and hitting the catcher.
Could be. But again, because it's him, it's feasible.
But you could almost say in the last 5 years have those incidents happened. I think Manny grew up. I think Manny went from being that dude. I think Manny Machado went from not knowing what to do with this competitive nature to knowing what to do with this competitive nature.
You know, the funniest thing about him is that the people that don't like him are the people on the other teams. His teammates love him.
Dude, the other night, he got the whole team in a huddle. Coaches on the outside looking. He had the whole team huddled. Who huddles in the dugout?
It's a damn shame the Mets are going to win the World Series.
No one, as long as the Dodgers don't, I'm good. As long as you can't upset me with the Mets, the Padres, don't matter.
Shut up, Rob. Just go back to what we were talking about. Manny a good leader or not.
Is he a good leader?
I think so.
Ed, is he a good leader?
He is now. He wasn't. He wasn't in that role as a kid.
I'm not judging a man on what he does at 24, 25.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah
he is now.
Like the leadership thing, like some guys are just born into that and they have those natural abilities. Other guys lead by example. Some guys are vocal. I think Manny's one of those vocal guys. I wouldn't question his leadership ability early on. I would just question his immaturity.
Yes.
And again,
I don't have to do with it.
Yeah. So like, did he realize how good he was and what was going to be expected of him when he first came up?
Yeah, but sometimes just sit down and randomly think about some of the things that you used to do and say, ooh, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
I bet Manny had a lot of those moments when
he sat back.
The time
I said I'd go to mornings.
Ooh, what was I thinking?
The time I scaled the side of a hotel to go into a bachelor party through a window.
You did that?
Sure did.
What'd you do that for?
Why do I do anything? I don't know. Because I was about that age.
He's not a good leader.
Yeah.
Rob.
Was it? I did it in a pink sweater and petty loafers. Try that, my friend.
He said, why do I do anything? I said, I was about to say, was it about a girl? Yeah. Because that's why he does everything. Was it about a girl? But yeah, I think it's not Manny being Manny in terms of that old Manny. I think it's Manny being a leader right now. I think Jeremy hit the nail on the head. This has nothing to do with Manny. What about those two guys in the Dodgers?
Yeah.
We're asking about Manny.
Well, Manny.
This is about those two dudes in the Dodgers. They're the ones that did this.
Tatis goes yard off of Flaherty, and then Flaherty wants to throw at him.
Yeah.
And Manny's the one that's going to have. Like, that's where the leadership qualities come in. It's not like we're going to sit here and say we want him to go out there and fight somebody or whatever. It's the playoffs. You don't want to see anybody miss. You don't want to see anything stupid. Although we'd be talking about it for years to come.
Oh, but if there's anybody that you want to hit after hitting the home run, it's Fernando Tatis.
Well, he pimps the hell out of it.
He pimps it. Mm-hmm. He dances going to third. He points up in the air. He does it all. Now, hear me out. I like it. I think baseball had become too vanilla, too stoic, too compartmentalized. Like you're in church. You know what I mean? That's what it become like. You know, you can't do this. You can't do that. It's a game.
And
act like you've been there before. How about that? I'm going to act like this might be the last home run I hit ever.
See, there's a couple things I get into with like
I love the
whole
Latin Americans
respect
games.
Of the game, because I don't think that if you don't want them to dance, don't let them hit the home run. You
there
know?
You go.
And I like there are certain times I didn't like when the Ravens were going for that rushing record to keep the thing alive against Denver once they'd already locked up the game. I thought this was years ago.
I thought it was Pittsburgh.
No, it was Denver.
It was Denver.
Because remember,
don't think about the consecutive 100-yard games.
Well, that's what this was.
I thought, okay.
This was in Denver because the head coach there, who's Vic Fangio, was pissed off. Remember? There was all the words going back and forth.
Yes.
And to me, I do think that's a little disrespectful because you're telling me
they
a record.
They brought Lamar back into the game, right?
Yeah, and then they ran it when they should have kneeled on the ball.
Right.
They could have kneeled it out. They ran it one more time to pick up the streak. That's like when we talked about the whole Angel Reese thing. Like, you're out there trying to continue this double-double streak for what? You're down 30 points. Why are you the only starter out there? Mm-hmm. And why do they keep throwing you to the ball every time you get it? Like, it's just respect the game. So, it was who? Say it again.
Jesus Aguilar,
yeah.
Or what?
He had the braces. I remember now. Yeah. The Milwaukee first baseman. It wasn't Tellez.
Okay. Say,
yeah. Jesus
okay.
Aguilar.
Yeah, that's right, because he played here.
Yeah.
Jesus came here at the end of a season. Was it 22? He came here at the end of 22.
I mean, he got a cup of coffee here, right?
Yeah. He came here, like, I think that was the last year they had the non-tender or the wire trade deadline, mm-hmm. where you could be the trade deadline and then after the trade deadline trades. I think he came with that.
Because did he go to Tampa or somewhere before he came
Tamper?
Here? Tamper. Tamper. Yeah, I was talking to Ed.
Yeah, I don't say that.
Tamper. It's down there near Cuba.
Let's get there. What is he tampering with?
With me, it's my life. Look at that. You swallow that. Thank you, Ed.
My God.
Can you isolate that?
I don't have to hit you today. I brought him.
Commissions Baltimore. Commissions Baltimore featuring a bad man at 8:45. He's sitting next to me, and you notice I'm acting accordingly. But on the other side, Rod Ripken joins us to talk some baseball right here on The Fan. 8:31 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. Joining us right now from Baltimore Baseball Tonight, he is Ryan Ripken. What's going on, Ryan?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well, man.
How are you? Ryan, good. So far, I'm going to lead you down this, since the Orioles are out, if you don't mind. I think we'll talk. I like to talk a little playoffs because this is still exciting. Are you surprised at all at how well the Mets and the Tigers are doing since they were so out of it this year?
No. I mean, this is what postseason baseball is kind of all about, you know? And this is why when I say, like, it truly, when you get in and it's unpredictable and you can see what happens, right? Mm-hmm. You know, those teams, I mean, the Mets are on one right now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the kind of beauty of it is you look at it on paper and you go, man, you know, the Mets, it's a great story. They're playing with confidence. But the Phillies are the better team.
Yeah.
They were the better team all season, you know. But the Mets are finding ways to win, and they're playing well right now. And they got in, and now they're, you know, now they're one win away from going to the championship series. So that's just kind of the beauty of it. And the Tigers, too, on the other side of it, they sold at the deadline. And then they went on a unbelievable run. And then they got in, and now they're trying to make some noise. So that's just how it goes. That's why when I was talking about the Orioles, you know, it's not saying they didn't have all the issues, but I did really believe if they got by the Royals, you got the Yankees, you know,
yeah.
You just beat the Yankees. It's like, hey, a real shot to go to the ALCS. So postseason baseball it's amazing. So I really do think the Mets. I wouldn't be surprised if the Mets go all the way to the World Series.
Ryan, one of the things I was saying it somewhat tongue-in-cheek is like, oh, did the Phillies not do enough at the trade deadline? Did the Dodgers not do enough at the trade deadline? And, oh, my God, there's such a knee-jerk reaction at the end of the season when baseball is different than every other sport. We see some of the strangest things happen where teams get hot. And, again, I go back to the Orioles and some of the things that people said they didn't do enough of. I don't know who was screaming to get this premier bat in the middle of the lineup. We were all talking pitching at that point in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, right? You know, when you look at the Orioles team, and everyone can, in hindsight now, can go, well, wait a minute, this team, they needed more help offensively. It's like, well, look at the talent that's in that lineup. You felt good with who you had. And it just, week by week, you know, it felt like there were some issues. But once again, you go back to that playoff series, fifth inning, that's going to be an inning that's going to haunt the Orioles and Orioles fans. And I'm sorry, Orioles fans, for bringing it up again. But you had bases juiced and your number one RBI producer at the plate. You know, the guy that hit a grand slam against Houston, had some huge moments, and then he gets out. And then you still have a chance in the unfortunate situation with Couser. He was sitting slider, and in my mind, didn't see it at all. We know what happens. And then Adley Rutschman, you tell me you got three chances right there to put something across and you can't. You know, so the O's had their chances. You had the guys you wanted to have some opportunities, and it just didn't happen, right? But if you, just it's the example right now, the Dodgers and the Phillies are on the brink of elimination, two of the best teams in baseball. And it just goes to show you that the playoffs are a different beast. You get in, and then the craziness can happen.
Yeah, look what happened last year.
Mm-hmm.
Two wild card teams go to the World Series, right? Maybe you just don't know.
Might see it again.
Yeah, I know. We had an early discussion now that we got the playoffs kind of out of the way. Talking about the O's now, come back next year, and some of the guys who are, I don't know, on the bubble kind of question, what do you do with these guys? First would be John Means. What do you do with Jorge Mateo and Ciano Perez? I mean, I guess so. What would you do with John Means with, you know, this injury, with these injuries?
Man, you know what? I think Means, I don't think will be back. And maybe also just because he could come back if it's a, you know, hey, it makes sense on a deal. We need some depth, and maybe he doesn't have a lot of opportunity elsewhere, right? That's where my mind kind of goes. And then there's familiarity, and he loves Baltimore. But quite frankly, I feel like just everything that's happened, the injuries, you just kind of feel like this is the end. And, you know, I watched the end of the game, and maybe this is a telling sign for me. The game ends. Everyone leaves the dugout. Everyone's gone. The Royals are celebrating. The last person that was looking out on the field was John Means, just staring out there. So, and for me, that's just kind of a telling sign. You know, I think
Ryan, to add to that, in the clubhouse, everyone was saying, see you later, see you later. His was, he shook my hand and said, I'll see you when I see you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rob. I mean, there's little words right there, right? Where you just, there's tells, and it just feels like this is for John in Baltimore, which it's emotional for him. And I know he doesn't know, but I think for his career, maybe a clean slate somewhere else. And I just don't, it doesn't seem like it's in the O's plans, especially with all the injury history he's had. But those are little things right there. So if this is the end for John, man, it's been some great runs here, and I hope he gets an opportunity. And the biggest thing is hope he gets healthy and gets one more crack to show what he's capable of.
It makes me sad. John Means lived, I'm not going to say where I live, but he lived directly across the hall.
I can give the address. I remember.
Shut up. So I got to know him, his wife, his baby. I got, you know, see him in the pool, see him in hallways. It's just a really good guy. I'm just sorry to see him go.
Yeah.
But I want to say, there's a chance he might not, right?
That's right.
He might not, but yes. You're just looking at the signs of, it's the realization of, this is the predicament. In Baltimore, the other problem, if you're going business-wise for the O's, you know, can you rely on having John next year? And back-to-back injuries and depending on that. And that's something, the Orioles already have a lot of guys on the shelf that they know are still going to be with the team next year. So it's going to be a tough business decision there. And, you know, I was trying to think with a guy like Perez, then I think we'll see what happens. I don't know. Perez has such great stuff. I feel like he'll come back, but he was very erratic. But the Orioles are definitely going to have to look in the mirror and see who's going to fit in, you know? And that's just kind of the reality of the situation here. But they're definitely going to take this time until the World Series ends and really try to figure out who's going to be in that plan or not.
Talking to Ryan Ripken from the, of course, here on the Big Bad Morning Show. And one of the things, Ryan, that, I mean, you kind of brought it up. I thought there were two teams celebrating when the Orioles got knocked out, the Royals and the Yankees. Because if I'm the Yankees, I do, and it's not a fear thing. It's I'd rather face the Royals with the matchups and the familiarity. But it is weird to look in the postseason and to see last night that Mookie Betts was 0 for his last 22 before that homer. And then all of a sudden, look at what Aaron Judge has done in the postseason. He looks pedestrian. Mm-hmm. But this is one of those things. It doesn't mean he can't hit in the clutch or he can't do this. It's a small sample size, but those narratives will build in the postseason if you don't come through.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that's the reality. I think Aaron Judge was on like 16 straight at bats being hitless or something like that. The Yankees are going, well, man, this guy had another historic season. You know, and that's the narrative that gets built. And on the flip side, you know, there's some really good players that can just absolutely catch fire. Two of them, well, one of them, I was watching because the Mets, everyone was hating on Alonso. And guess what? You're hating on Alonso when the season's on the line and he hits a changeup away for a homer that propels them past Milwaukee on the brink of elimination. And then Fernando Tatis is like 10 for 18 with four home runs. Talented player, right? But he's now the hottest player in baseball right now and is really lifting this Padres team. So you're right. The superstars, they're going to get a narrative they don't come through in the big moments. But there's so much more to it than just, you know, hey, it's not working out. So glad you made that point. And that's why October, anything can happen and someone can step up. We can go through every single postseason and go, hey, man, this guy had a good regular season, but in the postseason, I didn't think this guy was going to step up, and he did, and that's probably going to be the team that has a chance to go and win the World Series.
Ryan Ripken, thanks a lot, my friend. It's been a pleasure.
All right, see you guys. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.
Thanks,
you
Ryan.
410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Your thoughts is Todd Monken as a head coach candidate. We'll talk about that at 9 o'clock. But on the other side is Commissioner Baltimore. Commissioner, what you got?
I got a good friend of mine who's who's been involved in one of the two big conflicts in the world that people are aware of, obviously. We're going to find out what it's really like on the ground in these hot zones. I think you should stick around for this one.
Commissioner Baltimore up next on the Fan. Commissioner's Baltimore with Ed Norris. What we got, Ed?
We got a longtime friend of mine. I call him BK. Do you want to be addressed another way, or do you want to...
BK is fine.
Yeah, his name is very...
I don't know that most people know.
Can we hear what the
name.
Full name is?
Huh?
What is the full name?
It's on a need to know basis.
Okay. All right, I'm out. That was my one question. Thanks. That's all you had to say.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm a tactical and security consultant and instructor, mainly.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you get your training?
So I served a total of 25 years in the Israeli military, between right. active and reserve, all of it in the special operations world.
Right. So that's why we wanted to talk to you. Obviously, this is it should be a big concern for everyone, especially and in this country, what's going on in the Middle East. Could you just quickly describe, I mean, because you could do a whole, you know, couple a week of shows on this. What happened October 7th of last year?
The biggest tragedy in Jewish history since the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And the equivalent of, if I remember the numbers correctly, to 20 9/11s happening at once, obviously.
Because of proportion of population yes. stuff, yes.
Exactly. So what happened is Hamas attacked from Gaza. I know very well, very planned, organized, coordinated attack that included using drones, using people overrunning the borders, and attacking civilian villages, including one festival, the Nova Festival, yeah. and massacring over 600 people that day, taking over 200 hostages. At the moment, we have over 1,600 people that died between civilian casualties and military that went into wow. war after. And we still have 101 hostages held.
I just saw that in the news. It said a lot of them are presumed dead anyway now. It's like
a year later, with everything going on above ground, assuming they are held in tunnels under Gaza,
yeah.
chances of survival are pretty slim.
Yeah. So what's happened with you personally?
So we're just talking about everybody. Every Jewish person at least knows where they were on October 7th, yeah. right? So I remember waking up that morning, it was a Saturday, and getting a treadmill, my WhatsApp is going off the wall. So my family's texting me, my unit, my military unit is texting mm-hmm. me, everybody I know, and I just wanted to go back there. My wife knows that. I was on edge because I always said it's hard being a warrior without a war.
Yeah.
I find it's harder to be a warrior when there is a war and you're on the sideline.
It's funny, you asked where I was on 9/11. I was here. And I have terrible guilt over that because I lost 5 friends.
Yeah, I'm so sure.
I totally get it. It's
yeah. And my unit was one of the first ones, my organic unit was one of the first ones to respond. Mm-hmm. The response that day was very unorganized. People, there was no military command. So every soldier that was around just picked up their weapon and mm-hmm. ran into one of those villages and trying to do whatever they could. There's a story of an Apache pilot that literally commandeered an Apache, got in the air and started sending messages to people on the ground. Let me know where targets are. I'll go and engage them. There was no...
Really?
There was no coordination at all. Uh-huh. So my unit lost on that first day 7 people.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And it took about a couple of weeks until I finally got orders to go back and managed to make my way back. Did not end up in Gaza. I actually ended up in South Lebanon, training initially and then deploying with another special operations unit. And people don't realize that it was hot back then a year ago. Just as much as Gaza, and what we hear in the news today going on in South Lebanon is just an escalation of what was going on a year ago already.
BK, do you, and look, I'm going to ask you a loaded question that doesn't actually have an answer, just an opinion. You think we'll ever have peace over there, or is it run too deep?
No, and again, you're fighting an ideology. So when people said, should we negotiate to take the terrorists back, or should we eliminate Hamas? And I said, there is no way of eliminating Hamas. Even if you take everybody out, it is an ideology, and somebody will come up at some point with a grudge. And I think Golda Meir, who was an Israeli prime minister back in the 70s, said the day that the Israelis put down their weapons, there'll be no more Israel. The day that the Palestinians put down their weapons, there'll be no more war. The reality is that they're not willing to put down their weapons, and you can't fight that.
No, and it, just an example, there's a book that I'm in about my role with the Kahani assassination, the 93 bombing, 9/11. It's called A Thousand Years for Revenge for a reason. It doesn't matter. It's 1,000 years they'll fight this. It just doesn't matter. What is life like there now for the average Israeli?
Gotta love the Israeli psyche in that sense. I mean, being in literally war for 75 years, they are as extreme as this is. They're kind of used to it, which is yeah. weird to say. Sirens go off and everybody runs to their shelters for their 15 minutes and then it's back to the coffee houses and to work and to do whatever they're doing.
Right.
When I was there, not graphic I can get on the show, but
oh, do say it.
I literally landed, and the first thing I had to do is go to the restroom because I just got off a flight of 12 hours. And I go to my sister's apartment, and I get in the bathroom, and the siren goes off. And she's frantically knocking on the door. She goes, "I gotta go to the shelter. I gotta go to the shelter." I'm like, listen, I'm doing my thing. If it's my time to go, it's my time to go. I'm like, I'm not rushing this. But that's a reality there. I mean, people will just go about their life. But every day there's ballistic missiles, there are rockets. This morning we had a stabbing attack with 7 people injured. So it's just part of reality, unfortunately.
PK, you said something I think may have escaped some people. You said it's hard to be a warrior without a war. And it's harder to be a warrior when you're on the sidelines. That's in you. You feel the need to be a part of this, not just an idea, but also physically a part of this.
Yeah, it's visceral. My wife will say the day that I finally got the call saying I am clear to go, she said I just got relaxed. There was peace in me. And I give her a lot of credit for not fighting me and allowing me to go, because I'm sure it wasn't easy. But for me, it's something I had to do. It's something I still have to do. Every day is a battle for me. When people ask me how I'm doing and if I have PTSD or trauma, my biggest trauma is
not doing anything.
Not being there. Yeah,
I get it. Yeah, I get it.
And then he mentioned missiles going. I mean, I don't know how closely people follow this. People seem to just washes over a lot of people. But like, right straight out of Iran, it would approximately 200 ballistic missiles were fired into Israel. And
Ed, I'm sorry, this is on the last volley. Mm-hmm. Back in April, we had another volley where they fired over 800 between drones and missiles. So,
and a lot of them were shot down.
Yeah. So Israel's defense mechanism is pretty robust. A lot of it is AI. Mm-hmm. So they don't shoot down all missiles, but they essentially calculate where they're going to drop. If they drop in the open, they just let them go. But if they are aimed at a civilian population, they'll intercept them. Yeah. And they have a pretty good success rate when it comes to that.
Thank you, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah. Thank you, Star Wars.
BK, absolutely. Praise to you, my man.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
We appreciate you, my friend.
Yeah, on your next deployment, we're all thinking about you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Shovels at 9:15, but on the other side, your thoughts of Todd Monken as a head coaching candidate, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.